Welcome to the Outlawed Roundup coming at you this week. Already into February 5th, 2025 with Got Waste, which was supposed to be a question.
I was going to ask you, is that a question?
Not presented as a question. What's the play on Got Milk?
I know, but I mean.
Well, then it should have been self-evident.
No, I think Got Milk was more of a statement than a question.
Well, let's Google it, see what comes up for the logo. It was a logo, so we'll settle it. And Euro Carney, which I mean, the Carnival Carney is just writing his own jokes. I mean, this guy is unelectable.
Oh no, he's electable for the Liberals. I mean, dude, he is a step up from Trudeau. He is Trudeau 3.5. I mean,
no, Trudeau was good looking. Carney looks like a little troll from under a bridge. He looks like a dork, like the guy you were picking on in physics class.
What? It doesn't matter about that. He is
totally matters. What do you mean it doesn't matter? Looks is probably is like one of the most important.
He's a pretty clean cut guy. He's fine. He's fine. He might not be super
masculine. He's a fag, man. It ain't happening. Can you say that? Weird. I mean, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it in a derogatory.
All right. You're right. It's Got Milk was a question. Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah. Got Milk. Sorry. I should have went with my intuition there. I was kind of scrambling. I should have asked you.
Is it intuition?
What?
It
would have been. Well, because I was questioning it and I knew that was the answer, right? So it was. I mean, I can get rid of my Carney thing right away. I mean, I think one day we're going to have to do the carnival of the carnival of corruption. I mean, really, one day we will do that because he won't even answer where his conflicts are, right? Or what he's invested in and all that, what he's got his money in.
Because he's not a real candidate. I'm telling you, he's just a big distraction and he's going to drop out. Something's going to come up and he's going to have to drop out and he's going to hand it over to Freeland, his goddaughter, who he's just fucking setting the stage for, getting rid of. Everyone else is gone now. And then something's going to go, I can't do this job.
The poll numbers are going to go up, like mostly fake, but they will get 10% of the old Liberals back that went conservative. They will, with Carney at the head, they will get those back.
I'm telling you, it's going to be Freeland. He's going to jump.
Interesting theory.
I've been saying this for a while, but nobody's been really paying attention. I got to move my camera a bit before I get myself in trouble.
Yeah, you should move your camera. Yeah, so I just think he's the one that needs to take it to the next level. He needs to fight back. He's going to represent, I hate to say this like that, but the UN, the EU, the WEF against Trump and America. I mean, he needs to stay there for this fight. We can't have Freeland in there or any of the other candidates.
Something's going to come up. He's going to drop out. Freeland's going to come in because it's still a loser election.
What?
So they're bringing for Freeland.
No, dude, they're going to have that's your prediction. My prediction is
there's no way the Liberals are winning. I get everyone's all riled up and they're going to push out the election until 2026 and it's going to be a state of emergency. And, I get it, but that's not going to happen. It's going to be it's going to be Pierre. I mean, why would they bother pissing off the entire country when Pierre is the same shit?
Okay, well,
in a dorky little package. What's different? What's Pierre's big difference? That's the only thing is the carbon tax, which now they all agree needs to go.
Take it off anyways. Exactly. They're just stealing it right out from his platform. We'll cancel the tax too.
Throw the dog a bone and let him have Pierre because he ain't, he's going to be, he's all in on all the shit. Where is his stance different from Carney's?
All right, I like that. Okay, no, I like that theory. I like that theory. I do, but... where was I going to go with that? But
Carney, he's dressed up as a fucking whatever he's playing dress up already. He's playing dress up where he's dressed up as some fucking dude. I don't even know what the fuck, but it ain't a Canadian. You know, it's foreign attire. So he's pandering already to minorities, which is a problem. And then he's not going to change shit. What's he going to change? He's going to he's threatening the same tariffs. He's threatening all the same things. I don't see why they would risk upsetting the thing. My prediction to get it just out, Carney's going to drop out. Freeland's going to come in. The conservatives are going to win. And Carney's going to circle back around. He's going to have to find something, I don't know if it's going to be a family emergency.
Well, he'll be consulting Pierre probably. I mean, he'll be pulling the strings, selling heat pumps to Pierre.
No, no, but he needs a reason to get out somehow out of this leadership race. This is what, like, how's he going to get out of this leadership race? That is, it can't be a scandal because I predict that Carney is coming back.
Okay, but you've always said that the.
But if I'm thinking Carney right now, you got to be like, this is, you can't do it right now. It's a fluff. It's a waste. You're blowing your only shot. Your only shot. You can't waste it right now.
Well, but they need to get the polls to show that liberals are neck and neck with the conservatives, which they're already doing. The fake polls are already showing that. No, they will get a small percentage back, and then they'll tweak it at the end,
Quebec will leave the fucking country. Quebec will leave the country.
If what?
Quebec's going to vote almost entirely Bloc, it looks like, this time.
So are you saying that the Laurentian elite, that little, like, what happens in Toronto and Montreal, basically?
Toronto's, you know, yeah, I'm saying that.
You're saying that they are going to push Pierre in?
Like, the election, they're going to burn down the country. It's going to be like Trucker Convoy 2.0. That's what I predict. I don't think they're not gonna blow the Carney shot right
now. We don't have another convoy in us no matter what happens. That's my
opinion. I agree that we don't. Even if not stealing the election. I mean I put that like 0%. I see it all riled up, and I even see some doofuses falling for Ford and all sorts of stuff. I mean, some guys that I actually, you know, thought I had some respect for, but now I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Oh yeah, Ford just
they're talking about Ford's integrity. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are we watching the same movie?
What's not integrity was authenticity. I think I saw the same thing. It's because he comes across authentic, and he does. He does. I got to give Ford that. Like, he's got that.
He comes across as authentic. He comes across as going in whichever way he feels like the political winds need to push him. He's supposed to be conservative. I'm going to print a bunch of money if that's what we need. I'm going to reward Trump if that's what we need. You know what? The guy is a fucking feather in the wind. The last thing he has is any fucking authenticity.
I'm saying he comes across with
the Elon thing just to bring it back a couple days later. I mean, this guy is you know, he's a Charlotte. He's the least authentic, one of the least authentic politicians in the country.
No.
I would say that EB's even more authentic than him. He's just a fucking idiot, but he's authentically an idiot.
No,
Ford is a globalist fucking scumbag that was going to go whichever way he feels like he needs to go to win an election. That to me is the opposite of authenticity.
Well, no, that's his true. I mean, just because that could be his true character, like his true thing.
It's not authentic.
He's not faking it, I guess, is the thing, right? He's just that way. Like, so that there's, I think you got the wrong version of authentic happening. Like, you can be a jackass and still be an authentic jackass, or, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think to be authentic, you can't be fucking flip-flopping on whatever.
No, that's just the way he is.
He's got to be.
He's probably flip-flopping. No. Yeah, he believes his flip-flopping. He tricks himself and believes in his flip-flopping 100%.
A flip-flopper is not authentic. A flip-flopper cannot be authentic.
Yeah, they can.
No, because he doesn't have any fucking moral backbone. He's just rolling with
whatever. Moral and authenticity, I don't think it doesn't mean anything.
I think those are fucking two sides of the same coin.
No.
I mean, what's he going on now? He was just saying some crazy shit, socialist bullshit today.
I know.
Conservative. I was just like, I read it. I'm like, what is happening?
This is a great example of how Canada, when I said to somebody and they're like, they got all mad at me on X, I'm like, we don't have a right wing, really. Like, we really don't have a right wing in Canada.
Well, we have Alberta. That's about as close as we get.
Yeah. And even then, it's really not right. I mean, it's really just right of center, probably. Not that I'm an expert in all this, but right of center and everything else. Everything else is left of center.
You get outside the cities, it gets pretty hard right. I don't know about around there.
But yeah, but it's just not a lot of population.
Rural Alberta is pretty hard right.
Yeah, rural Saskatchewan probably.
I would put rural Saskatchewan and rural Alberta up against the
Texas and
against the hard right sections of.
Yeah,
we just don't have as much racism in us because it hasn't been face to face with it. You know, we're more racist against the Indians that are here now and from before. All the Indians, really. You know, there's a lot of people racist against the Indigenous Indians, and there's a lot of people racist against the new Indians. Yeah. And, you know, that's just how we ferment it. But whereas, you know, down in the States, it's been the whites and the blacks the whole time. So it's bound to go in that sort of different direction.
So, I mean, here's one. Could it be that Carney has to back out because he's got three passports, and do we allow somebody that has like multiple national citizenships? He's Irish and what else? And Canadian.
Ask ChatGPT.
Do you have your machine up?
I don't have it right now. I'm looking for Doug Ford's Twitter so I can see what it was that he sent out. Okay, and we haven't said a single thing yet about a single clip, so this is trouble already. We're already 10 minutes in. I can't find him. Oh, here we go. So he's going to take the tolls off of... he's taking the tolls off the roads, which is probably a good thing, honestly. But I don't see how they can afford to do that. They're already taking $500 million from us this year to help equalize their budget. So I don't understand how they're coming up with these socialist programs. It seems crazy.
UK. And I thought, so Irish. So Irish, UK. I was going to say UK, but Irish, UK, and Canadian.
Did you find the answer though?
Irish, UK, and Canadian.
Yeah, but did you ask ChatGPT if that's legally allowed in?
Oh, I'm sure it is. I mean, I don't think Canada has
a rule.
I'll ask. You know who I'm on? I'm on my Brave assistance right now.
Can PM of Canada? No,
I'll leave it up to your machine. You
have triple citizenship.
I don't think it matters if it's double or triple. It's just multiple.
In theory, yes, the Prime Minister of Canada can have triple citizenship, as there is no legal requirement for the Prime Minister of Canada to hold only Canadian citizenship. However, in practice, this can become a political issue. From a legal perspective, Canada does not prohibit its Prime Minister or any member of Parliament from holding multiple citizenship. Only the Canadian Constitution only requires that he be a Canadian citizen. But bottom line, it's politically, it could be a major liability.
Okay, how about this?
Irish citizen, yeah. So well, there you welcome. Go. Welcome. Speaking as a European, I like to say following.
Mark, you look like you were about to.
I was a tell.
As a European, you know, as a.
As a European, honorary, I am a European, actually. Irish citizen, yeah. So
well,
there you
welcome.
Go.
Welcome.
Speaking as a European, I like to say following.
Mark, you look like you were about to.
I was a tell.
As a
They were like, should we say that? Mark, you look like you're European.
How about this one? Is there a bigger cuck in the country than this guy?
There's a fever gripping America.
I got a fever. This guy's great at more cowbell, baby.
Sounds good.
And while it rages, Canadians will remain resolute and true to our values. While America engages in a war on woke.
There's this Calistani handler right behind him there.
Canadians will continue to value.
Look, there's the other one over here. They're like, you say what we fucking say, Mark.
Inclusiveness. There's a fever gripping America. And while it rages, Canadians will remain resolute and true to our values. While America engages in a war on woke, Canadians will continue to value inclusiveness.
Will we? I wonder, I don't even know. I got to say 100% like where the public perception is on that kind of stuff. I'm out West where we like banned that shit a while ago and got screamed at for it. But was that just social media? I really feel like on that stuff, the whole world kind of agrees. Really? Nobody really wants to say it out loud. You know, I mean, it's out there. There's definitely some freaks out there. But it's got to be like less than 1 in 10. What do you think?
10%. Yeah, 10%. Yeah.
I feel like most people were never really okay with a lot of that stuff. And they were especially watching chicks get knocked the fuck out by dudes.
I'm telling you, it's about the economy. If people were well off right now and they could save for a vacation and they could save for their retirement a little bit, or maybe to buy a house, they would be okay with a lot of this stuff. People are like, what are you doing? You're ruining the economy and you're throwing all this other stuff in there, right? Don't you think that would it be so much easier if we
were... I don't know. The economy's got to be pretty good to deal with all these Indians. I mean, honestly, the I'm seeing levels of racism break out across Canada. Levels I didn't even think were possible. I mean, you know, maybe that was the plan to make America racist. You mean
the dots or the feathers?
The dots. I mean, honestly, there is, I do encounter some racism against the feathers, but I see just as much racism going back the other way from the feathers. So I just, you know, call it real. And I call it out on both sides when I see it.
But you can't be racist. So.
I like to call it like that Lakota man is a race baiting piece of shit. I think he finally blocked me, but I've had enough of him splitting fucking fake Indian propaganda. Okay.
Like what kind of fake Indian?
I'm not going to get into it here. It's like, I'd have to ask.
Like what? Like,
it's like talking bullshit. He's being a victim, which right. I don't agree with is the best.
Yeah.
Best road. I pay my taxes.
Well, remind me, cause I have a thing about a taxi driver from a Punjabi guy who immigrated. So
I got a bunch of stuff on the Punjabis this week. So,
okay, good. So we'll do that. After
it's an asshole show. Speaking of assholes, and we got Mr. Authenticity here, who can't ripped up his Starlink contract. I think it was like.
Did you see all the memes about him taping it back together?
It was either Saturday or Sunday. He ripped up the contracts, and now he's saying they're back on. Ontario must Starlink deal revived. Ontario Progressive Conservative Party leader Doug Ford has reneged on his vow to reneged. That's a lot. You hear that? You hear reneged and authentic really thrown around in the same milieu a lot. Has reneged on his vow to tear up. And the funny thing is that dude's in Ontario too. So, you know, he's like, he's basically just falling into the propaganda as far as I'm concerned, which I guess I could be called as guilty of in Alberta as well. But at least my politician seems to have more balls than the rest of the fucking country combined.
Well, the other thing is too is there is supported by the whole mainstream establishment, right? It's a little bit different because
we're kind of our taxes at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I think BC too. I mean, they should really be with us on this. But that EV is a real weasel. Okay, where were we? So Doug Ford has reneged on his vow to tear up $100 million agreement with Elon Musk Starlink. After U.S. President Donald Musk paused his tariff threat on Canada for
3 years. Donald Musk.
Ford confirmed on
Donald February. Musk. Did you do that on
purpose? Did I say that, Donald Musk? On Elon Musk.
President Donald Musk.
That's a good one. It might as well be. Ford confirmed on February 3rd that the Starlink agreement with Musk will proceed for the time being. Unless you upset me again, then the deal's off. An Indian giver. Time being, and other retaliatory measures planned by Ontario, such as banning U.S. alcohol from LCBO stores, we put in hold. I mean, this should open up a conversation of why the government is in the business of selling alcohol. Really? I mean,
well, that's what the U.S. people were saying. They're like, look at this. All the government owns the alcohol stores.
Everywhere except for here and there, I think.
And so good job. You're not getting revenue off the already sold. That just shows you how well they're, you know, the business is, right? Well, let's take out all the American stuff that we've already paid for off the shelves so that people can't buy them.
We have temporarily averted tariffs that would have severely damaged our economy, giving time for more negotiation and time for cooler heads to prevail. Ford had previously announced the same day the province would be terminating its contract with Starlink. During the February 3rd press conference, Ford had also said the province would stop doing business with American companies. Starting today and until the U.S. tariffs are removed, Ontario is banning American companies from provincial contracts, Ford told reporters. The decision was halted just hours later. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. I mean, it really just, it was a pretty embarrassing week to be a Canadian. I mean, just to, our leaders really didn't fucking, oops, I posted that in the wrong spot. And I don't even like to call them our leaders because I don't like to think that I have a leader. But, you know, they really just, they're all just super pathetic the way they were all like whiny, bitchy little fucking.
Oh, it's full of virtue signaling. Like, it was just gross, man. And none of them except for Danielle and Mo wanted to address Trump's ask, which should have been handled, or you know, a long time ago for us.
That's right. Hey, speaking of Team Canada, I got this little clip here. I got a little Team Canada clip for you. Let me pull it up. I don't know where this came from. Someone sent it to me. Oh, it's Bird of Proud Dad on Twitter.
Are you on CPP? Are you looking at boycotting Trump? We have a solution for you. Check this out. The Canadian Pension.
So this is the...
You're echoing too, by the way.
Oh, well, we'll have to just deal with it for this clip.
Okay.
This is basically the global asset allocation of the Canada Pension Plan. I mean, you remember last year we were talking about how the pension plan doesn't invest in mostly Canadian companies, and they were talking about forcing it to invest in Canada, and we were talking about how, well, that's risky because if the pension plan starts losing money, then the pensions go away very quickly. I mean, it needs to make 10% a year, I think 8% maybe. It needs to make money, I think, at 8%. If it doesn't do an 8% return every year, then the CPP starts falling apart. And even in its current form, I think it's only good for 75 years at best.
Is this the one that invested in Chinese EVs?
I don't care what they invested in. I'm not going to get into that, but I'm just going
to... If it's based on this clip.
We're not getting into that for this. This is not what this clip is about. This is more about what happens when Canadians boycott the America. And
okay,
$144 billion out of their $350 billion pension fund comes out of America.
How much? $144 out of what?
16. You know, I'm not going to do the math quick. It's not half, but it's over a third, I would say. He's going to tell us, but so that's kind of so them boycotting America. You're cutting 35% of your pension fund out from under you that needs an 8% return. So. You know, let's then just continue, but that's sort of the breakdown of this chart here is where we're investing our pension fund money.
Are you on CPP? Are you looking at boycotting Trump? We have a solution for you. Check this out. The Canadian Pension Plan is heavily invested in the United States. In fact, it is the largest investment in the CPP. So if you really want to stick it to Trump, stop collecting your CPP. Boycott it. You're making money off of America. See, like, this is the fucking thing that people don't understand, right? They all want to point fingers and say, buy Canadian, buy Canadian. Our own pension plan doesn't buy fucking Canadian.
That's a great kicker at the end. That's awesome.
And if it did, it wouldn't be able to make any money because we've regulated ourselves almost into extinction.
Yeah, it just shouldn't be such a virtue signal. People should just always be trying to buy the localest they can. You buy from your neighborhood, you buy from the province, you buy from Canada. Like, shouldn't that be the general thing that people try to do? Even if you're going to spend a couple more dollars, you support local.
As long as we're on the Team Canada trend, I mean, let's just...
But during your discussion
it's not going to be as fun because you already know about this, I'm sure, but Team Canada, so you got to assume that after this near trade war where, you know, the country suddenly come to terms with the fact that we don't really have any ways to get our oil to market other than the States. We can't really do anything with it if we're not selling it to them, and we're selling almost all of it to them, and we need the money. So you'd think, you know, it's time to make some pipelines, right?
Build. Didn't Carney say it? Time to build.
So
thank you, Carney.
So Team Canada must be like, yeah, man, let's build some pipelines, right? What do you think Quebec has to say?
During your discussions today, the issues of pipelines came up and whether Quebec would now support either an Energy East or some other kind of pipeline that would take Alberta oil out to markets other than the U.S.
Yeah.
No.
Of course, right now, there's no social acceptability for this kind of project right now in Quebec. But, of course, situation, the economy, and what Mr. Trump is doing may change the situation in the future. So if there's a social acceptability, we will be open to these kind of projects. But right now, there's no social acceptability. No.
Okay.
Well, who's that? That's not club. That's not the Bloc, right? That's not the main party. That's what is it?
A Bloc's not the main party. Bloc's not the main party. Bloc is the federal party.
That's the Quebecois party, Quebecois or whatever?
That's the people. That's the party in power in Quebec.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a provincial party.
social. So you're right then. Basically, like the brainwashing media, social environment dictates your government. Then
they just want our money. They don't want our dirty oil going. I don't even know what it is. But here's the thing. Even if they change their mind, and I was going to pull up this exact same thread. Do you have all her tweets? I mean, she's got like it is six of them in a row that were all about that.
About this one?
Yeah. That's all the oil imports, right?
Yeah. I mean, she had, I mean, just to continue that's what you're talking
criteria, about. Criteria that, because so she has another one that goes on how much they've pulled in from Saudi Arabia over the last 20 years or whatever.
Right. Okay. Well, this is just 2023. I mean, it's like, okay, well, we bought $3 million worth of oil, where there is no carbon tax and zero emissions regulations, but Alberta has to cut production to meet the mythical net zero. You can't hate these liberal hypocrites enough. And I guess it's got the energy there to 2023 all the way up from Nigeria. Oh, this ought to be a good. So she's probably taken this and switched to Nigeria to all these other ones.
Yeah. You should go to her profile.
Okay.
Because that's just Nigeria. So they also imported a bunch of oil from America last year to help meet demand and a bunch of oil from Saudi Arabia.
I thought she was taking a break. I don't know what she's back just like with all these. She's just back with all the goods.
The top chart, the one we were just looking at. Yeah. So go down a little bit.
Yeah.
Go down a little more. That one right there is Saudi Arabia.
46.8. So let's say 47,000 million to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. About another 2 billion a year.
Last 20 years. However, Saudi Arabia brutalizing women is no problem in Quebec, and liberals are good with it too. There you go. It's in Quebec, it's socially acceptable to support Russia, not Canada, and the liberals are okay with that. That's that social stuff again.
Oh, yeah, right? That's oil from Russia.
Canada bought 71 million from Russia in 2023, including 20 million of oil because François Legault won't allow a pipeline. Good job, Naya. That's awesome.
So here's a question. So now, even now, let's say you own an oil company and the social condition in Quebec has changed a little. And they're like, you know what? We changed our mind. You guys come build a pipeline. What did Marty say that pipeline cost to build? Like 6 billion, 8 billion or something like that?
I think 8, maybe. I don't know. That seems like
would you invest that money going through Quebec so that when the social acceptance goes the other way, what happens then? You know,
I know that's why our government's not serious and it's not reliable. I mean, this is the thing. But look at this perfect chart showing how nonsensical is the liberal net zero agenda. 75% of all Canadian exports go to the U.S. Tell me which ones don't require oil and gas. I'll wait. Huh. Interesting.
There you have it.
Okay, so that's she's been back on fire. Good to see her back.
Turn so
I've got it. Is that yours or mine that I'm sharing? Am I sharing that?
Yeah, that's yours.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, I wanted to do another thread here from David Zhao. I don't know if you've been seeing him on there at all, but what do you want to do? Do you want to do something else?
You go ahead.
So
I got it. So just so you know, I got a bunch of fentanyl stuff. Some dude got shot at the border today. I can get rid of that one because he just, shit.
What?
I closed the wrong one.
Yeah, there was some fentanyl busts and some lecos, like some weird stuff from another awesome investigator too, Stephen Plumwasi or whatever his name is. So this is from David Zhao. Canada's become a nation of deeply unserious people turned into a banana republic by dictators draped in the rainbow flag in the last 10 years. So one, for all new talk of diversification, our economy is weaker and more dependent on the U.S. than ever. Two, for all the new talk of but Mexico makes all the drugs, tens of thousands have died and suffered from our pro-drug policies. Three, for all the new talk of buy Canada, we've deindustrialized so much we barely make things to buy anymore. Four, for all that's so true, eh? People are like, oh, that's a company that's owned by the U.S. too. Like every time somebody's like, oh, I'm going to buy this, you're like, nope, sorry, not owned by Canada. There's not a lot left. For all the talk of invest in Canada, our own pensions have decided this country is uninvestable. Five, for all the talk of Canada healthcare, more people have died directly from wait lists since 2020 than from COVID. Oof. Canadians rose up to demand war on Americans without realizing we've been at war with ourselves for years. One, we want to cut off America's access to trade when our own citizens have had their bank accounts cut off. Two, we threaten to cut off oil from America when our own provinces have been cut off from oil for decades without a pipeline running west to east. Our leaders are deeply unserious people incapable of introspection. They think the world revolves around them. They finally wish to act only when their comfort is threatened. Too little, too late. You can't fight a war you never prepared for. Canadians need to remember they are citizens of a sovereign nation. We have not just the right, but the responsibility to do better. We now have once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. People are awake for the first time. We need to demand better from each other. We need to demand better from our leaders and media. So, yeah, that's a good post.
I agree. You could demand all you want. It ain't going to happen.
True. I do agree with that, too.
Okay, so what direction do you want to go? I got some fentanyl stuff. I mean, Clyde won't even say fentanyl on YouTube. He says it's a bad word.
Moose on the Loose is calling it street candy, so we shouldn't say it. I mean, you see,
if we're going to say the news, then we got to say the words. Yeah, I'm not going to play that shit. I don't think that's correct. I think YouTube should change your policy on that. That being said, I also haven't seen any decrease in
censorship.
I haven't seen, no one said anything. I would see maybe those guys are big enough that they might notice a dip in
stuff,
but I think I don't think we should start changing the words, you know?
Okay. Well,
it's like self-inflicted newspeak.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, dude. We're not good at all at self-censoring. So we should probably just decide not to right now. Well, I mean, I've got a bunch of drug stuff too, so we can either do the drug stuff or the taxi Punjabi stuff. So,
okay, wait. Well, let's start with let's get the got waste out of the way first, then, and then it's done, and we can do a bunch of drug stuff. So let's see. Let's start with this. Actually, I want to open it up with this little bit here. I'll open this up. Which is historical stuff on some tariffs and dairy stuff between Canada and the USA. So Canada's supply management system for dairy and poultry products has historically imposed high tariffs on imports to protect domestic producers. These tariffs have been a point of contention, particularly with the United States. Dairy products, tariff rate quotas. Canada employs TRQs to control the volume of dairy imports. A predetermined amount can enter duty-free, but once this quota is exceeded, steep tariffs are applied. For instance, over-quota tariffs can range from 200% to over 300%, depending on the product. Tariffs on U.S. dairy products have been notably high, with rates such as 241% for liquid milk and 298% for butter. These measures aim to protect Canada's supply management system, but have also been criticized as a trade barrier by U.S. stakeholders. Similar to dairy, Canada uses TRQs for poultry imports. Imports within the quota enter with lower zero tariffs, but those exceeding the quota face substantial tariffs, sometimes approaching 400%. NAFTA and USMCA. Under NAFTA, Canada maintained its supply management system, limiting U.S. access to its dairy and poultry markets. The subsequent United States-Mexico-Canada agreement provided the U.S. with increased access to Canada's dairy market, allowing tariff-free entry for 3.6% of the Canadian dairy market. Despite these concessions, high over-quota tariffs remain in place. I mean, shouldn't it just be... I thought we were doing a free market thing here.
Well, no, there's other problems too, right? I mean, since 1999, Canada does not... they're not approved to use recombinant bovine somatropin, the synthetic hormone that the U.S. uses. So apparently that's why we can't import dairy products, because of this hormone that the U.S. uses, but we can't, that we haven't approved.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard that before. How can they have tariffs on it then?
I know, that's weird, eh? So it says the United States uses these hormones in food animal production, which is a practice not permitted in Canada.
Due to health and welfare concerns for the cows.
The hormone is banned in Canada due to concerns over human and animal health. Yeah. So I don't know. That's interesting. I wonder if how that plays into that whole thing, you know. I mean, and does that mean that all of them are doing? I'm sure there's some people that aren't using that, you'd think, right? All the isn't there a bunch of organic farming
data? Yeah, I'm sure there's all sorts that aren't using it. Well, this is a newer article on it. Amid US tariffs threat, a fight may be brewing over Canadian supply management. So basically what we've been doing is, you know, the only way we can keep the Quebec and Ontario dairy farmers in business, make it feasible for them to keep making milk, is by basically not allowing any other dairy products into the country. And it so, gets, I mean,
it's a tariff, right? Isn't that like a tariff? You're basically subsidizing. Exactly what
it is. It's a tariff. Well, that's and they're actually charging tariffs. Like I said, over 200%. So if you want to bring milk in from the States and sell it for $2, they're going to charge you 200% on top of that. So you got to sell it for six. So they see going for the sake. I mean, you can't get a jug of milk in Canada now for less than $6 anywhere.
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy.
So if we had American milk in here, what would that look like? What would that do to the chicken, milk, bacon, eggs? You know, eggs are expensive right now in the States because of that bird flu bullshit. But, you know, if we had the, you know, just enough of their stuff in here, I feel like it could cut the average American Canadian's food bill in half. Anyway, Montreal, the federal government and the Canadian dairy industry are vowing to protect the country's supply management system. And we're going to go into this a little deeper, find out if you think this system is worth protecting any longer.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, maybe I don't really like government intervention, but I mean, if it is to buy locally, like what Trump's doing, then maybe it is okay to protect this.
It would make us pretty big hypocrites, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But that's why it's
part for the
course. This is why it's a good example. I mean,
okay, so vowing to protect the country's supply management system in the face of threats from the United States, but some observers and even some who work in the industry say Canada will have to consider changes to the decades-old system that controls the supply of dairy products to appease a combative Trump administration. Earlier this week, U.S. President Donald Trump voiced cheese is $20. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some of that cheese up here? Discontent about American access to Canadian dairy markets, which was a major sticking point in North America free trade negotiations during his first term in office. Canada is very tough. They're very, very tough to do business with, and we can't let them take advantage of the U.S. Blah, blah, blah. Skip down to the back. Canada treats our dairy farmers horribly. That's got to end, he said. I'm going to work to make sure they do much, much better in Canada than they've ever done before. And that is a key focus of this administration. On Tuesday, Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly told reporters the government will defend Canadian dairy producers. We have always said that we would protect supply management. The Liberal Party is the party that put supply management in place. Canada's system of supply management for dairy, poultry, and eggs was established starting in the 1970s. Following a period of price volatility, it functions by setting production quotas for farmers.
This is unbelievable.
That's interesting.
That's why those guys have to throw out all that milk.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Ugh.
Guaranteeing minimum prices and maintaining import control. So I just want to talk about that because, you know, everyone wants to talk about how capitalism's ruining the world. Is this capitalism? Is this considered capitalism?
No, it's communism.
It functions by setting production quotas for farmers, yeah. Guaranteeing minimum price. What else do we have these secret deals on, you know, and maintaining import controls? I think supply management will be protected in Canada, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so let's, I don't need, I need to go into the limbo of that anymore. Basically, they want to keep making sure that they can keep the system to keep these things. So let's see what do you think supply management looks like in practice. Let's jump into this.
Oh my God.
I got a project here. This is actually, it's only 3 months old. I thought it was a little older than that. So this is basically what supply management means in Canada.
In the last 2 weeks, after a scathing report came out about how much milk is wasted in Canada. Since then, Harmish Maleski has been trying to get reaction from the sector only.
While you're listening to this, just think about how much you're paying every time you go buy milk, butter, cheese from the grocery store. Cream $7 now.
To hear silence. She joins us now with a look at how this
system. And think how many people are going hungry and they want to take our money. You know, we're
butter's to 10 bucks.
To this and butter's donate like, to that.
Butter's like nine, 10 bucks for a pound of butter.
Ricardo, public awareness about milk dumping kind of ramped up last winter when an Ontario dairy farmer
milk dumping? What? It's
viral. It's
milk dumping.
The whole thing. It's even got a name.
Reality.
They make us dump it. And no matter how we stand up, so this time I'm going public. I want the.
I think this guy disappeared after this.
He's dead now? Well, this is 3 months old.
Yeah, he disappeared, dude.
Oh, man. Godspeed, Jeremy.
I mean, I want to ask. I'm going to ask my assistant while you're playing that. Jerry Hugan.
365 days as a little boy, we grew up on a dairy farm, came from Europe. Work, and here we are. This is what's happening.
That's Jerry Hugan from Dunville, Ontario. He posted that video in February 2023, saying he's forced to dump about 30,000 liters of extra milk at the end of that month. Because of government regulation, he, like thousands of dairy farmers, pay for a quota to make milk in this country. They don't get paid if their cows produce a surplus. Now, after that video was released, two environmental scientists, one from the U.S. and one from Denmark, reached out to Sylvain Charlebois, affectionately known as the food professor from Canada's Dalhousie University, wondering how could this be happening? So together, they took the number of dairy cows in Canada and estimated up how much milk the average cow will produce in its lifetime. That number was compared to the milk that was sold in this country for the same year. The result? The researchers...
What do you think?
I don't know.
How much milk?
I don't know. How much milk is dumped?
Yeah, how much milk do you think?
As a percentage or
in liters?
It's like, it's probably hundreds of thousands of liters.
I'm going to say millions.
Okay.
There's found a staggering 7% of milk can't be accounted for. It's a $14 billion loss to the economy and a valuable food product that could have been used to help millions of Canadians, according to the researchers. So, Ricardo, it's been a challenge to get reaction. A local dairy farmer referred all of my questions to the Dairy Farmers of Ontario. They deferred me to the Dairy Farmers of Canada,
who didn't have a single... echoing. Did you change something in there? It started echoing. It was fine, and then it started echoing.
I don't know, man.
Anyway, sorry. Can you rewind that? Referred to the Dairy Farmers of Ontario, then to Canada. This is just priceless. I mean, this is another reason why Canada is just so broken. And it reminds me of, I was reading that thing that you sent to me about, like, you know, Canada and the U.S., like always, Canada always becoming sort of a part of the U.S. And now I see why because they said it was going to happen commercially with all these corporations anyways. Right. And now I see why when Trump's pissed off, like none of the companies are allowed in Canada, like it's really hard to do business with us because they know that if you let all these companies in, they're going to destroy us. Like production.
We can't compete.
We won't be able to compete with them. It'll become the U.S. And then David Eby can do his blue and red state cherry picking. Let's just do it. I mean, he's already made the choice.
This should be better now.
To the Dairy Farmers of Ontario. They deferred me to the Dairy Farmers of Canada, who didn't have a single person available for an actual interview. Same goes for the Canadian Dairy Commission. In a written statement, the CDC denies the problem is as big as the study would indicate. The Canadian Dairy Commission says just 1% of milk is thrown away, and only as a last resort. A new study indicates it could be 7 times higher.
It's much easier to turn on the tap, away from cameras, in barns, away from prying eyes. Just dumping milk is less costly. It's less complicated.
Charlebois believes the CDC should make dumping illegal and the agency should be forced by government to find a way to utilize any extra milk.
It's totally normal to have a surplus. What is not normal in Canada is not to have a strategy to manage surpluses. And we should.
Charlebois also believes farmers should be allowed to sell their milk raw and unprocessed.
Whoa.
Or
Canada should do more to find new domestic producers to make infant formula or yogurt in this country. Economist Ian Lee believes supply management should be abandoned altogether.
We're the only country now in the world with supply management.
Lee thinks if we did, the cost of milk could be cut in half, acknowledging government might still have to provide subsidies to the sector.
So if governments want to intervene for whatever policy reason, it's much better to subsidize the firm or the activity rather than fixing or regulating the price.
The federal government, meantime, appears to remain committed to supply management.
I'm going to leave it there for now. So we talked about how much did you say you thought it was?
I didn't want to get into the millions. I mean, I just said, well, hundreds of thousands, but.
All right. Well, let's.
It says $14 billion on the top of your thing. I mean,
that's a dollar amount, though. That's a dollar amount. Let's, and that's just a, you know, some bullshit news thing. Let's go to the to a report, to a publication, a research publication from the Center for Sustainable Systems. It says, what do we got here? Holy moly. Over 6 billion liters of Canadian milk has been wasted since 2012. Now, this is a paper. This is a research paper filed October 5th last year. So that would be, do you have your chat bot open? Can you ask him what 6 billion divided by 13 is? Divided by 12, really. So it's going to be, well, I could do that. It's half a billion a year. 500 million liters of milk a year. So Canada's dairy supply management system, according to the peer-reviewed literature. I mean, the Canada government says otherwise. I mean, I will have to, it's a coin toss on who you can trust these days. I know I don't trust the government. Canada's dairy supply management system provides milk year-round, but unnecessarily disposes of overproduction. A lack of transparent data on discarded milk means that the scale of this issue is unknown. This hinders action to mitigate the potentially large environmental, economic, and nutritional costs of avoidable on-farm milk waste. Here we estimate the volume of surplus milk discarded on farms using a material flow analysis approach and assess the related environmental and nutritional costs. By our estimates, over 6.8 billion liters of raw milk vanished from the Canadian dairy farm since 2012. Now, what do you think? We could probably take a billion off of that for fucking out-the-door raw milk deals.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just mind-boggling.
It's a number. So let's see what this is. So we calculate this is equivalent to 8.4 million tons of CO2 emissions, or enough milk for 4.2 million people, or 11% of the Canadian population annually.
Hey, that could be all the immigrants since 2023.
Whoa, easy, man. We don't need to give these motherfuckers any milk. You should get some milk. You know, you're old. Pretty soon you'll be on the pension.
Send it to the...
Your mom should get free milk. So we suggest increasing transparency on the volume of overproduction.
No, but I mean, what about that? What about that? What about free milk to the food banks? Like, I mean, anything but throwing it away? Really? What is anything going on? Atlas Shrugged, man. It's
it's crazy. Right? Are you done Atlas Shrugged yet?
No, I was trying to, I got through it a bit more yesterday. And I was just, again, blown away by it.
Yeah, it's one of the better books of all time, man. That shit is all mixed up. My stuff is mixed up. So, I mean.
That's a good one. That's an awesome segment. Is that the end of the segment? Or?
That's the end of the segment.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
I mean, I have another thing on the. I have more stuff on it, another paper, but I, you know, it's kind of like beating a dead horse. They're dumping a billion liters of milk down the drain every couple of years. It's craziness.
And Buddy, I think Buddy's gone. I mean, we should try and find that dude.
It would be good to try and find him.
Maybe I'll search it on X. I tried to search on the internet. It didn't come up.
All right, you want, let's jump into some Fendt.
Sure.
I'm trying to get this guy on the show, but I think I'm a bit much for him. And he's an Indian dude, so.
Oh, that's the guy I was, yeah, he's awesome. Stephen Punwasi. I've got one from him coming up next year, yeah.
Yeah, so Neither Canada or USA are saying that the drug border conflict is about out loud, so I guess I'll do it. This is from a while ago now, January 30th, but I thought it was still worth doing. This is about Canada's trucking industry and Ontario's truck driving schools that popped up overnight.
Wow.
So number two, first off, you've probably heard, seen this chart making the rounds, proving Canada isn't a big source of drugs in America. When I talk stats, I always tell people to take a careful note of what it's showing. In this case, it's drug seizures on the Canada and a Mexican border, straightforward. So it shows there that, you know, we're 1%.
Like this. And this is the trend. This is the one that everybody's going. This is the whole mainstream narrative is going after this 1% thing, right?
That's right. So two, three. Now, if you're in America, you've probably been reading stories like this. Take note of where these truckers are being arrested. Spoiler, not the border. Just one of these busts was 6% of the volume of drugs seized at the border. But obviously, wouldn't be in the border data. So the one here says Canadian-based truck driver Robert Scapa, from Mexico. Cops pulled over a truck on the way station on Interstate 94. What is going on? Oh, is this all the same story? Okay, sorry, I'm doing it back here. So a Canadian trucker was arrested with 123.9 kilograms of cocaine in Indiana. So, an Ontario truck driver shuttled cocaine and heroin into Canada for high volume drug ring has The Indian national was on a work permit in Canada when he started hauling loads of drugs, allegedly for a mafia-linked Montrealer, Mexican cartels, and American narcos. That's the one I was looking for. So 123. So what's that, about 250 pounds of cocaine? How do I get out of this now? That's just the one thing. Okay. Am I not sharing anymore?
No, you're not sharing anymore.
Four, Canada and America have arguably the closest trade relationship of any two countries. Every day, 3.5 billion in goods flow through back and forth, with an average of 13.7 thousand trucks crossing a day. As a result, a high degree of trust is granted to logistic companies, especially bonded and trusted firms. Companies like FedEx need to move materials really fast. Used to be hard to become a cross-border trucker, since companies don't want to risk hiring a smuggler. In 2019, Ontario snuck in legislation to lower regulations to make private career colleges. Then, with the help of the government-owned joint venture firm, no one knows our gov's own, they combed rural parts of developing countries to drum up business for colleges that popped up overnight. Trucking was huge. Between 2017 and 2024, Ontario went from 80 truck driving schools to 280. Wow.
Oh, my God.
The province has six auditors for 600 private career colleges, almost half for trucks, apparently. No enforcement standards. The industry thinks it's absurd. Eight, as you might have guessed, that's a really bad combination. CBC Marketplace did an investigation recently where they try to buy a truck driver certification, and then the person threatens to set them on fire when they try to back out of the deal. Do you want to watch the clip? Or?
No, I think we've seen it a while back.
Nine, it's also important to remember Canada had no checks or balances for its study program, no background checks or school verification. They just show up at the airport with proof of funds and a letter they won't verify. That's it. That's how it worked until last year. 10, to recap, money laundering capital of the world, no school regulations, criminal-run certifications, desperate folks from developing countries with no standard of entry, and no scrutiny for cross-border traffic. Still surprised this is happening. So I thought that was a pretty good threat.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Yeah. Well, let's just keep on with the drug stuff here for a bit then. So this is in today's episode of Canada's Justice System is a Joke, and this is for Kirk from Kirk Lubomov. A Winnipeg man, truck driver, Komalpreet Sidhu, was busted with trafficking over 15 million Is that what, right? 15 million of meth into Canada? One of the largest narcotic seizures. In the prairie's history. And he was released on bail. So he isn't a Canadian citizen. And after being here for almost 10 years, he still barely speaks English, needing a Punjabi translator. These are the kind of people we are immigrating to Canada and are in our trucking industry. Notice a trend yet? So it says here, like, at times he sat crying, looking at his wife as his freedom was debated. The hearing was briefly halted as a translator was needed to explain court proceedings in Punjabi to Sidhu. 406 kilograms. So that's about 1,000 pounds of meth.
That's a lot of meth.
And then this is from Stephen, which is the guy that you were just sharing. Hiding a lot more fat. Did you hear about this one? This is so weird, dude. Why now? A whopping 19 fentanyl trafficking cases.
I have this one. Yeah, I have the actual.
Seven days. Why would Canada do that? Police
bust the article.
Oh, do you? Okay. Police bust massive ring. It makes the news. The government drops charges. What? Fentanyl trafficking. There's no convictions in the span of a week. So this is the weird timing too, with everything going on with Trump, right? It's like, are they just releasing all them and then they're going to crack down after, kind of like they get let into the grandfather's soft crime clause or something? 20 cases in almost 20 cases, alleged drug dealers. So between January 14th and 21st, they received notification of stayed charges in 19 cases that include charges of possession of drugs for the purpose of trafficking, drug trafficking and related breach charges. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, we don't have any context to compare that to like how many charges are normally dropped or if the timing is coincidental at all. But
well, we have this. Prosecution budget issues leading to fentanyl trafficking charges getting dropped. So serious criminal charges are getting thrown out because of budget cuts in the federal prosecution service. An Ontario police chief says Hamilton, Ontario police chief Frank Bergeon voiced frustration and disappointment at Police Services Board meeting after learning that the Public Prosecution Services of Canada, the PPSC, dropped 19 drug trafficking charges laid by Hamilton officers earlier this month. The Public Prosecution Service of Canada handles prosecutions for federal statutes, such as charges under the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act, including trafficking. Bergeon said in many serious cases, notably involving the trafficking of fentanyl, have been stayed or withdrawn without reasonable explanation. Bergeon said the issue was likely related to a billing cap imposed by the government on federal prosecutors. Talk about a backhanded way to fucking decriminalize shit. The prosecution service said working within a budget is neither... No, nor unique amount. What is neither new nor unique amount? Oh, I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to say. As with all the public agencies, we are imagining our. This is this is True North actually. As with all the public agencies, we are imagining our operations within our allocated budget. A spokesman told True North, "This is one of our key responsibilities and is tied to the sound stewardship of public funds." The PPSC's budget allocation is a matter of public record. The PPSC has always had budgets allocated to agent firms in relation to the prosecutions they undertake on behalf of the PPSC. These budget cuts are prompting concerns among Ontario police services about why certain drug cases have been stayed or withdrawn since the start of the year, including charges against a Hamilton man who was once among Canada's most wanted. These cases involve serious drug trafficking of fentanyl, cocaine, and opioids that directly affect our community, especially our most vulnerable, Bergeon said. It is our understanding that these dispositions were not related to reasonable prospect of conviction, public interest, or the quality of police investigations. One of the drug cases that Hamilton police say was inexplicably suspended in mid-January involved Hamilton Solomon, who was among Canada's top 25 most wanted when he was arrested for 2023 for allegedly selling drugs. He still faces murder charges. Anyway, I hope the federal government is paying attention that we need their assistance specific to the illegal proliferation and exploitation of the most vulnerable in our community. Bridger and continue, make no mistake, our mandate is to stop drug trafficking in our city, and our members will continue to dismantle these illegal drug operations.
Well, that's weird because I missed this part about Stephen's post. That you're talking about Hamilton, right? Look at Stephen saying Hamilton home prices went up 3 times in 8 years, like 3 times. So look at back in 2015. I mean, even 2005, they were just over 200,000. And then it goes up to, in 2015, it was at 400,000. Then it went up to 1.2 million almost. He says, love Hamilton, but we're not paying the government 10K for property records to prove the laundering, only for government to act shocked and ignore it. Already did that in TO. I'll do the analysis, but not paying for records. Hey, Mark Carney, does your platform have a plan to deal with the laundering and fentanyl? I think Canada would love to hear it since you may be PM in as little as 2 months. Pierre's voice concern, Freeland demonstrated she's team fentanyl by hiding the HSBC investigation.
Team Fent. I want to be the Fent czar. I can do it. And I don't have a Fent problem. So, you know, you like
here's Tibernicus. I might be able to shed light on the problem. There's a history of corruption in the Crown Prosecutor's Office involving certain large criminal law firms in Hamilton. I can speak to at least two. This is just a comment. I can speak to at least two cases where such was indicated. One I was involved with, the other Ontario Attorney General's office investigated. And of course, the findings were not made fully public. And then Stephen replies, wild. Then he leads on how I can learn some more about it without ending up in a Hamilton dumpster. It's true. When you ask Grok, it lists all these names native to the Yuzhong district of Chongqing, China.
Ching, ching, chong.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's stay on the Fent train. Might as well just get blacklisted on YouTube if that's a thing. RCMP near Swift Current bus Calgarians with 8 kilograms of fentanyl. Calgarians. What do you think? What do you think their names are?
Sing?
That's pretty racist. They're from Calgary. Should their names be like, you know, Billy Bob and RCMP and Swift Current bus Calgarians with 8 kilograms of fentanyl. I hope this is a message to others who choose to transport illicit goods through our province. So Calgarians attempting to transport 8 kilograms of fentanyl or arrest the Calgarians. Calgarians. They keep using that word.
Oh yeah, they want.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
Any chance to smear Calgary.
8 kilograms of fentanyl were arrested following a traffic stop by RCMP and Saskatchewan Highway Patrol near Swift Current, Saskatchewan. On Tuesday, officers from Saskatchewan's RCMP Roving Traffic Unit and the province of Saskatchewan's Saskatchewan Highway Patrol were working together doing proactive patrols in the Swift Current area. An RTU officer conducted a traffic stop on Highway 1 as a result of, I mean, that's the other thing. There's like one road across this fucking country and we can't figure it out. As a result of this Highway 1, that's it. There's no two. There's highway, you know, coast to coast. As a result of continued investigation, the two occupants of the vehicle were detained for drug trafficking investigation. During a search of the vehicle, officers located 8 kilograms of fentanyl hidden under the spare tire. The vehicle's occupants were arrested. Swift Current RCMP and Saskatchewan RCMP Saskatchewan Trafficking Response Team provided RTU valuable assistance during the traffic stop and subsequent investigation. As a result, the Calgarians, 26-year-old Swati Narula and 28-year-old Kundardeep Singh, both from Calgary, are each charged with 1 count trafficking, controlled drug substances, and 1 count possession for the purpose of trafficking. They appeared in Swift Current Provincial Court on January 29th. The accused told investigators that they were traveling to Regina. This is a significant fentanyl seizure. Keep in mind that only a few grains of fentanyl is enough to potentially cause a fatal overdose. We have prevent potentially millions of doses of this dangerous drug from entering our communities.
So. Says there that the USDEA, go back to that paragraph, says that it looks like. One kilogram, I know, I didn't know if it looked like that. 1 kilogram can kill 500,000 people. So yeah, that could have killed like 4 million people. What?
All different colors of the rainbow there.
And they got to cut, and they got to cut all that?
So that's like 20 pounds, basically.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm not going to keep going down any longer. So the Singh brothers, the Calgarians, yeah, good Calgary boys. I wonder how long they've been in Calgary. Let's jump over to this. We'll share this tab instead. Border guard found guilty in drug smuggling scheme. What do you think his name is?
I'm not answering anymore.
A former BC border guard has been found guilty for his role in a multi-million dollar cocaine importing conspiracy. Baljinder Singh Kandola, 39, was arrested on October 5th, 2007 after a truck carrying 208 kilograms of cocaine passed through his inspection booth at the Pacific Highway border crossing. The drugs were valued at between 5 and 6 million. Blah, blah, blah. Kandola's co-conspirator, Shminder Singh Johal, a car parts importer, was also found guilty of conspiracy to import drugs, importing a controlled substance, unlawfully importing firearms, and bribing a border official.
$10,000 he got for waving him through the customs.
A BC Supreme Court judge found Kandola guilty Friday. What's the date on this article?
It's like he hands you like 10 grand in cash and he's like, oh, I didn't know there were drugs in the back, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is pretty old actually. But anyway, border guard. How many more do you think are compromised?
So yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to line up to the right guard though, right? You'd have to know exactly what to like.
Oh yeah, you just know when he's working and you go to those like, he's probably working at those one, there's plenty of like just one lane things, you know?
Yeah.
You just got to hit that one. You should get a job at the border. Canada now a low risk, high profit hotspot for fentanyl super labs, a sore spot for Washington. This is actually 3 months ago. No, 2 months ago from the beginning of December. Law enforcement experts say provincial police need more federal resources to shut down Western Canada's booming fentanyl super labs. What? I thought it was only 1%. Fentanyl super lab. What's with the kiddie pools?
So what was the 1% again? It was from, so basically it was saying that.
That's what they seized. That's what the border services seized.
Of like 1% of America's imports that were caught were from Canada.
They're saying all the drugs seized at the borders.
1% were from Canada.
1% were from
Canada. That's what the media is running with. And except that all these other things are getting caught before it goes over. So there's a lot
That. No, I would say that the elephant in the room is that there's fucking no enforcement. And there could be hundreds of kilograms of this shit going over the border every day. And it's just been a trusting relationship that, you know. So, I mean,
the truckers and their companies. And
yeah, well, that's the caveat, dude. I mean, it's become a running joke in Canada on trying to find white, you know, whenever you drive down a trucker, you're going by a trucker. It's like, you know, it's never a white dude anymore. They're all Sikhs. So now and then you've got all these Sikhs getting caught with fentanyl. And then you start to wonder how many of them trucks from these new companies and 200 new companies that sprung up. I mean, half of them probably don't. I mean, you could give them the benefit of the doubt and say half of them don't even fucking know what they're taking over the border. They can barely speak English.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some unsavory fella could just be like filling it up and sending them off. I mean, it's a crazy thing. I would say at last count, it was something like 70 or 80% of the main trucking industries in the country have been taken over by the Sikh population.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of things. A lot of things.
Yeah.
Anyway, law enforcement officials say police forces will need more federal resources to shut down Western Canada's booming fentanyl super labs after the country's synthetic opioid epidemic was spotlighted by U.S. President Donald Trump.
Ooh, so when they get busted, do they sing, Darren?
I'm not going to comment.
I knew there was a joke in there somewhere about, you know.
A bad joke. It's not working. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. Pretty much all police associations across Canada are suffering from a lack of resources right now, and we're certainly no exception. Kemp took part in the takedown of one such super lab in October in Valley View, Alberta, where officers seized 7 kilograms of processed fentanyl and thousands of liters of suspected precursor chemicals. Just one kilogram of fentanyl can yield up to 500,000 doses, blah, blah, blah. When we look into the lab at Valley View, those types of investigations are very resource intensive, said Kemp. Everything from getting the required evidence to even obtaining a search warrant to find out what's happening at the property takes quite a bit of time and manpower. So, each so-called super lab is capable of processing a kilogram or more of fentanyl in a 24-hour period, say police. So large-scale fentanyl labs first sprung up. So now this is this is where the busts are happening. They're like saying that it's a prairie problem because they're finding them out here. We're the only ones that are looking for them. Ontario don't seem to give a fuck. You know what I mean? Oh, there's a few. BC's basically decriminalized. So anyway, large-scale fentanyl labs first sprung up in British Columbia owing to its proximity to the Asia-Pacific region, but have since spread eastward to Alberta and Ontario. Ontario police busted one such lab located just 50 kilometers away from the Niagara Falls border. I wonder what they were doing, where they were sending it. In the summer of 2023, a facility in Falkland, BC, thought to be Canada's biggest and most sophisticated fentanyl super lab, was shut down by police in late October 2024. China is still believed to be the primary source of the chemical precursors processed at these facilities. Canadian-sourced fentanyl has been recently turning up in raids in the U.S., Australia, and other foreign nations. A briefing note prepared by Global Affairs Canada in June 2024 said that there's reason to believe Canada is now a source and transit country for fentanyl to some markets. BC Conservative MLA and public safety critic Eleanor Sturco said she's concerned the federal government is putting fancy new hardware ahead of the personnel needed to investigate and shut down illicit labs. Data from the past 2 fiscal years suggests that slightly more fentanyl is entering the U.S. from Canada than the other way around, although Canadian-sourced fentanyl still represents less than 1% of all products arriving at the U.S. border. So they were already working on that talking point in December.
I wonder if that is 1% of fentanyl or 1% of product.
No, that's 1% of seizures.
Seizures.
So that's, I would say that still argues that you could still have 99%. We could still have more just getting through. I mean, the difference between the two borders is a lot of extra policing.
Did you hear about the other 1% thing that the shipping in Vancouver, the containers that didn't even really look at them? They look at like maybe 1% of the containers in Vancouver. And apparently the trains don't get looked at all. They just don't even inspect the train cars at all. Canada is just turning a blind eye to everything. It's unbelievable. So can I read this thread about the fake student cab driver, Uber driver?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, this is from Adam Zebo. And my Uber driver yesterday was a Punjabi guy who immigrated to Canada 2 years ago as a fake international student. I don't condone his abuse of the system, but he was a nice guy and a victim of the system too. So I want to know what you think about this, Darren. I haven't read the whole thing yet. Here's what stood out from our conversation. First of all, this guy hustles hard. He works at home at some factory in Brampton, of course, during the day. And then he does Uber at night. He has no choice, really. His family mortgaged their farm to send him and 2 siblings to Canada for $50,000 each. He came to Canada because immigration agents in India lied to his family about what life is like here. They presented Canada as a land of opportunity and skipped over the crippling cost of living crisis and the fact that permanent residency is not guaranteed. He said that while the Canadian government... What?
Said psych.
He said that while the Canadian government is shutting down fake diploma mills and reducing student quotas, many Punjabis back home now realize that Canada is not the country it used to be. So demand to come here is naturally falling from his perspective, anecdotally. He said that crime and drug addiction are a noticeable issue in Canada. On two occasions during his long Uber shifts in the middle of the night, Addix refused to get out of his way and scratched his car after he told him to move. He mentioned that among his friends who also do Uber, one had their windshield smashed by a violent addict. Another had his car stolen right out of his driveway. My Uber driver claimed that among his community, there is a story going around of two Punjabi store owners who subdued and temporarily handcuffed a shoplifter, only to be threatened with arrest when the police arrived because they were infringing upon the criminal's rights. I mean, that might sound crazy to Americans, but that's pretty much the way the narrative goes up here. The driver was exasperated by the lack of law and order in Canada. He said that criminals in this country have too many rights. None of it made sense to him. He said it was obvious that the schools in Canada are scamming everyone, Indians and Canadians, and said that his school provided online learning, which allowed it to enroll hundreds, thousands of students while having almost no physical classroom or overhead. The whole conversation was really grim. I didn't know what to tell him, aside from the defeated admission that Canada is not the country it used to be just a few years ago. And then some comments here. I'm sure there are hundreds of thousands of such stories. Did you ask him whether he'd like to go back? I did. I think he wants to go back, but he said he has no choice but to stay, given how much money his family spend to send him here. For the sake of the integrity of our laws and immigration system, I think he should be deported, but I still feel bad for him. Shakespearean Danger Monkey says, Indians who are scamming the Indians, who are scamming the Indians, who are scamming Canada. There's a lot of comments are like, you know, depressing all around. Too bad. Did he ever reflect on how cheating his way into Canada has contributed to the issues he's complaining about? He's taking two jobs plus two siblings equals six jobs and a home while sending their money out of Canada. He's a criminal benefiting from too many rights by being here. Sad story. His family gets scammed by people in his own country and sending people here for $50,000 each sucks, but that's not Canada's responsibility. It's India's. Justice needs to be done here. If he's legally here, then they need to send him back. If he's illegally here, then they need to send him back. Schools enrolling them with bogus programs need to be dealt with harshly. Yeah, it's crazy how this has gotten so out of control. So I'm going to go back to this other one here quickly about speaking about crime and stuff, right? This is police want to remind you it is illegal to defend yourself and others from hammer attacks. Canada sucks, and this is just another reason why. Have you seen this one, the Winnipeg police?
I vaguely believe I have seen some of it.
Of course, you can't reply to the police, but it says a male was arrested on Disraeli Bridge after a nearby assault on a transit bus. Stephen Gagnon, armed with a hammer and assaulting passengers, was stopped by other passengers. Oh, some vigilanteism. When someone deployed bear spray, police discretion and no charges laid for the spray. But it is still illegal. So they want to remind you that it's illegal to defend yourself.
Bear spray is legal in Canada, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Not allowed to use it outside of the bears. In California, too.
Really? Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. We are like a big California up here, a big cold Cali.
I got a clip that might play off that nicely. I have three clip, just small ones left, and I'm done. So,
yeah.
This will fit into that, though.
This is breaking news. Two people have been.
Is it echoing?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right. Let's try this again. Let's try doing it like this. Try that there. Try again.
This is breaking news. Two people have been shot dead following an attempted home invasion in South Glengarry. According to the police, the incident began when three people tried to enter the home. Two were shot and the third person ran away. Searches for the third suspect were unsuccessful. These individuals did go there for a reason, did force their way into the home, and were confronted by an individual, and resulting in two of them being deceased and one on the run. The residents of the home were not hurt, but were taken into custody as part of the investigation, and a firearm was seized. Dixon said Tuesday that the two people taken into custody have been released unconditionally. P- Police said no charges have been laid. Dixon says part of the investigation is determining whether the firearm was legal. We have to investigate this to the full extent, regardless of whether this was a home invasion or anything else. I can't imagine what this family was going through to have three people break into their home and to make a quick decision on what to do to protect your family and your children. This is the problem in Canada. We do not have stand your ground laws. And so what that means is you have to go ahead and determine the level of force to protect yourself and your family. And so he used a gun, obviously. I don't know if he had a license. This is breaking news. But did he feel that he needed to use that gun in order to protect him and his family? That's the problem. Now you're in a situation like this. The adrenaline is rushing. You can't think straight and you need to make a split second decision. It shouldn't be on the homeowner to go ahead and do that for them to now be potentially charged as criminals in protecting their own home, their children and their family. That's why we need reform. I believe you need stand your ground laws in Canada. The homeowners should never be the ones that are targeted with criminal charges when they're trying to protect their family and children from criminals.
It's unbelievable. It is really, truly backwards and unbelievable.
Good news is that they did not get charged.
That's good.
We're going to keep an eye on it.
So, I mean,
because the last couple things in Canada have been leaning in the direction that it's okay. You know, we're not really saying it's okay, but
we're not going to.
The last couple in Alberta, specifically in rural Alberta, they were just like, but the guy got off. I don't know how much money it ended up costing them.
Right.
Might not been cheap.
Right. The other thing is too, it's similar to the soft on crime. Oh, have you heard of how Ruby Dahl is going hard on crime? Have you heard about that? But I mean, the problem is it dissuade, if you know that as a criminal, if you're going to break into somebody's house and that it's okay for them to shoot you, you're going to not break into as many people's houses, right? I mean, it's part of a deterrent as well to give people the right to defend themselves.
Absolutely. This list is going around Twitter. The following communities will participate in the rural community in immigration pilot, the RCIP. So I believe this would be, now most of these places aren't very rural. But some of them are kind of Pictou County, Nova Scotia is getting some immigrants. I don't know where that is. I don't know.
All the other ones are big cities.
Yeah, North Bay, Sudbury, Timmins, and Sault Ste. Marie, Thunder Bay in Ontario, all those in Ontario. I would say that all those are right. You know, they're all considered cities. I've never been to Timmins. Sudbury is quite big. North Bay, I haven't been to. They're all into the tens of thousands at least. Very much not like a small little country town, I would think of. Steinbach, Manitoba, a little bit smaller. I want to say that's around 20. Altona, Rhineland. I've never heard of that place. Brandon, Manitoba's
Moose quite Jaw. Big.
Uh-oh. Brandon's over 200,000. I want to say Moose Jaw's, I don't know how big it is, but it's got a few people there.
Probably 10 or 20. I mean, Moose Jaw's fairly big, I guess, but it's pretty close to me, actually.
And then Claire's Home, Alberta, getting some Emmys.
I heard they rejected it.
Oh, did they shut it down?
I heard they rejected it.
Yeah. Hillbilly strike again.
I heard the only one in Alberta is like not here.
I love it. I was gonna say, I mean, we like the Filipinos out here if we're gonna get them. It seems like it. There's some Filipinos over at where I go to town for coffee on my way to work.
Yeah.
Small little town there. I mean, they're pretty on the ball. You know, I got to say, if I had to pick.
Well, you can't be like that, though. You
Ukrainians
can't.
And Filipinos.
They like karaoke. That's why you like them.
And they just like they want to work. They try hard. I mean, honestly, dude, with some of the Indians, they're just like they don't want to be here. They're not interested. It's like this. I don't know, man. It's like the hands just out the fucking window with the coffee. There's no, you know, I don't know. There's a difference. I'm just saying there's a difference. I'm not saying one's better or one's worse. I'm just saying there's a difference.
Your example is a Tim Hortons example. My God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's no white people at any of the Tim Hortons anymore. So there's some Filipino ones and there's some with Indians. That's it. You know what? There's some in the one in Chestermere, this is Arabs. I should swing back in there and see how it compares after, you know.
Yeah.
But the drive-through experience for coffee has just been continually deteriorating in Canada, especially in Tim Hortons. I mean, I switched to McDonald's now if I have to get a drive-through coffee, because the Tim Hortons is just a total shit show. It's unbelievable. Okay, so ever since Burger King bought that place, so like the Canadian icon is owned by an American company. It's made in Canada, though, I guess. West Kootenay, BC, North Okanagan, Shuswap, BC, and Peace Laird, BC. So I don't know if that list is real or not. And then I will finish out my content with some breaking news. This just happened. Not far from me, a few hours from me, just as we were getting ready to come on the show.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
RCMP and Canadian Border Services say they stopped more than a dozen people from crossing into Canada from the United States in recent days. Officials gathered at RCMP K Division today to discuss three illegal border crossings. Yesterday, an American was spotted driving a truck into Canada at the Coutts Crossing. He died after shooting himself. A day earlier, nine people were also intercepted coming into Alberta from the U.S. Video from Manitoba shows a group of six people recently discovered crossing into Canada. Both those groups appeared underdressed for the cold Canadian climate. Police say they were all originally from countries in Central America and Africa. The RCMP's regional commander says they are sending a message with the response to these recent border crossings.
This is a big This is a big media blitz. This is just way, way too convenient to come out right now, today, the day after all the folding, the full enfoldment of Canada to Trump's things. And they're showing all this special technology and the heat vision sensors they've got. They're like scaring people, basically like, hey, look, we've got these borders under control. We've caught everybody. We've got the special equipment. Hey, what, all the media is lined up there. It's like a press conference. It's ridiculous. This is how fake our Canadian system is right now.
Bada bing, bada boom. Let's keep going.
Both Canadians and Americans to be alive to the, first of all, to the situation, and as well as to secure our border.
They didn't really talk about what happened, so I just have to read it. Manti say a man is dead after he crossed the United States into Canada at the Coutts border crossing in southern Alberta on Tuesday. It's one of three incidents detailed by RCMP in a news conference on Edmonton about Canada's border with the U.S. It's funny that he's coming this way. So basically, Assistant Commissioner Lisa Moreland, told reporters that the man was referred to secondary inspection, which I've been referred to quite frequently.
Every time for a while.
At the border crossing when he arrived at 7:45 a.m., but police say he drove north into Canada without stopping. I mean, border officials notified the police, who located the vehicle near Raymond, Alberta, about 80 kilometers away. Police.
We're not a serious country. We're not a serious country. This is how easy it is to get into Canada. Instead of going left, you just go right. And that's
if
it.
If it wasn't for the range roads and it being so flat, like if there's any trees or anywhere to hide, he would have got
away. If there's a city at all, there was nowhere for him to go except down that one road for 80 kilometers.
Police followed the man from Raymond to Lethbridge, Alberta, a distance of about 35 kilometers, and back through Raymond. A tire deflation device was ultimately deployed near Milk River, Alberta, which is about 60 kilometers from Raymond, bringing the vehicle to a stop. The man ran from the scene on foot and was chased by police with canine officers. During the pursuit, the male sustained a self-inflicted firearm injury and was pronounced dead at the scene.
This is all a big setup or something. I don't know. This sounds very
Alberta Serious Incident Response Team, which investigates incidents involving Alberta police officers that led to serious injury or death, has taken charge of the investigation. A day before, Marlon said four adults and five children were found to have walked across the border near Coutts around 6:15 a.m. Why wouldn't you just go like far from Coutts? That looks like some white broad, some fat one. Moreland said the group was traveling on foot with suitcases. All nine individuals were arrested under the Customs Act and handed over to CBSA for processing. A third event happened January 14th at the Manitoba border crossing. Anyway, that's about all I got on that. But I mean, they just blasted Buddy. Buddy blasted himself. I guess. Do you think he actually? No. You think he actually blasted himself?
It sounded accidental, but I mean, that could just be me.
Like he accidentally, like he pulled out a gun to shoot at the cops and accidentally shot himself.
Yeah.
You think the cop shot him and just said he shot himself?
Yeah, exactly.
He all riled up, man. Once that spike strip comes out, I mean, the blood is up. They're fucking, these guys, I've seen them in that mode when they fucking totaled all my shit. So anyway, that's all I got.
All right, let's wrap it up.
All right, well, we hope you guys enjoyed our little show here. And, I was posting my links in the wrong
place. There is no second half. This is all of it.
This is all of it. We have a free show. Of course, this is the free one. And we do another bonus one over the weekend. And so if you sign up for Plus 9, you get that extra bonus, a whole bonus show. We give you a bonus show. Last week, we did a good one on the COVID report from the Alberta government and a bunch of pipeline stuff. And we'll be doing that again on the weekends. We'll be live streamed, but you will get that extra episode. So instead of doing extensions, we're going to do extra episodes for Plus members only. Sign up over there for AmericaOutlawed.ca. Sign up today and you'll get all that, plus extensions on all the interviews we do. Of course, head over to GrandAmerica.ca for our other podcasts. Contact at thecabin.com for all of our trips and events. AdultBrain.ca for the audiobooks. GrandAmericaCBD.com to get some CBD or some THC gummies going on. And what am I missing?
I think that's about it.
That's it, guys. Check it out. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill I'm gonna cow.